All right, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for our first dancer. Up on the stage right now is host of Bass Squad Radio, TG. That's how my stripper introduction would go, because I'm planning on, maybe I am a stripper DJ and you guys just don't notice, but that is my stripper intro, and then you'd probably hear like Rich Homie Quan. I'd probably dance to Rich Homie Quan. That's my new career path that I'm planning. I'm planning on quitting fishing and just being a stripper. So what I did was I actually bought, went on Amazon.com. I'm looking at it right now that I'm planning on training to be a stripper. I bought a stripper pole at $69.99, pretty funny number for that it's has to do with stripping. But yeah, I went to www.bassquad, you know, cause I'm just tired of fishing and trying to give up podcasting and all that. And I just need a new path in life, and stand-up comedy isn't really working out too good. So what I did was I went to www.bassquadcorp.com. I clicked on the podcast link just by sheer happenstance. And I was like, you know what? I'm sure Amazon. And I saw, oh, Amazon.com. So I clicked on the Amazon.com link, which you guys could do if you want. And I was like, oh, I think I should do stripper pole. So I went and I want to start training to be a stripper. I'm sure there's videos out there. Maybe Julian Michaels has like a, I don't know, like a Biggest Loser stripper pole, maybe. I mean that's not a very pretty sight if you want to be a, I don't know, you know what, I'm gonna stop with that. But yeah, what I'm saying basically is go to www.bassquadcorp.com, click on the Amazon, or click on the podcast link, go to amazon.com banner on the side, and then click on it and go do some shopping if you guys want to buy a stripper pole. I mean, maybe if you're like wife wants to get into stripping, or if your husband, I mean, who knows, if you're whatever, if you're, who knows what you, who you want to strip. I mean, maybe save money. Don't even bother going on Amazon.com. Just pull your, just have them go out in the garage or storage shed or wherever you keep your boat. Pull up your power pole and just have them do it on that. I'm sure it's way hotter to me if some girl was stripping on a power pole rather than in some shitty bar and old guys throwing money at her and whatever. So use your power poles as stripper poles. I don't know, I'm kind of painting myself in the corner with this stripper talk, but I was actually thinking, talking to my buddy, hung out with a couple of my buddies that I seen in high school, and we were, you know, just sitting around a fire shooting the shit, and they were giving me garbage about fishing and whatever they do. It was just fun, you know, hanging out with your friends and talking, reminiscing about stuff, and we were talking about my 21st birthday, and it's that stripper story. That's kind of why I brought this stripper talk up, but yeah, so anyways, I was my 21st birthday, and I just had ankle surgery for the third time, and instead of, because I walked on crutches like most of my high school, my junior year of high school, I walked on crutches, so I didn't want crutches for the third surgery on my ankle, so what I did was I just used like, and plus I was really into House, the TV show, so I thought it'd be cool to get a cane, especially some 21-year-old kid with a cane looks hilarious, and I also used it to meet people because, of course, what's the first thing you're going to ask? Why the fuck do you have a cane? And I was like, well, you know, see, the thing is, and blah, blah, blah. It's just an initiation thing, and I was just being stupid and goofy like I normally do. But anyways, so I'm pretty drunk, of course. It's my 21st birthday. It's my first time I've ever touched alcohol. And so we're walking around, and my buddies were just insistent that I go to the strip club. And I'm like, I don't like strip clubs. I don't want to go to a strip club. And not to mention, we're in West Dallas, Wisconsin, which is, if anybody knows or anybody's from West Dallas, Wisconsin, it's a pretty much of a dirty, dirty town. And like, usually we call it the Dirty Stallus. John Gillespie, the fishing guy, is from there, actually. But so yeah, so I hobble in. I'm like 10 probably gin and tonics deep at this point. Pretty good for my first time drinking. And of course, I also was on some sort of narcotic because I don't condone this. So stop judging me. But I was on some sort of narcotic from my ankle pain. And so then, you know, I'm pretty I don't know how you say it. Pretty easy. I can speak pretty much my mind all the time. I'm pretty honest all the time. But when I start drinking, I get a little bit worse. And then I try to use my sense of humor and use jokes and tell things. So of course, we're in the strip club and I'm hammered. And I'm not trying to I don't play games. So all of a sudden this, okay, so this stripper starts, you know, gets done with her set or whatever. And then of course I have a birthday hat on, cause why wouldn't you? I have nerdy glasses on, a birthday cone hat, and a cane. Could I've asked for more attention being drawn to me in a strip club? People weren't even looking at the strippers. They were like, just look at this moron. So this stripper comes over here. She was, I mean, okay. Now I'm not talking shit or anything, but she wasn't exactly the mold of the stripper that I would like. I mean, she was a little bit, she was kind of fat. Okay. So she comes up and she's topless and she comes running at me and I'm just like shaking my head. My buddies are just cheering her on. She starts rubbing her boobs in my face and I just like, I don't know what I was doing, but I remember distinctly she says, aren't you going to tip my boobs? And I'm like, no, ma'am, I'm not going to play your stripper games. So please leave me alone and let me have a couple drinks with my friends. And they just like their jaws drop. The stripper winds up and slaps me in the face. And then I'm like sitting there just geeking out laughing because I just love getting a rise out of people sometimes, especially yes, I was being an asshole. Yes, I was being a douchebag, but it was funny. And then so then this lady, she goes up and she goes up and tells the bouncer, the guy that, of course, I already made an ass of myself by walking past him with a cane without paying the cover, and he had to grab me and ask him to pay the cover. So, well, this big bald guy, I mean, he's probably 240, just jacked out of his skull, and I'm 185 pounds with a cane. And so he walks up and he goes, "Are you trying to humiliate my dancers, sir?" And I'm like, no. And I remember saying cocky, "I think they're doing that all by themselves." And then next thing I remember, I was literally thrown out of the bar, and I started bitching about, and I have a big smile on my face, laughing and saying I'm going to call the cops because he hurt me, and it was just a complete ridiculous story. And so yeah, that's my own first and only experience in a strip club. I've never been back. I don't really like them. I think it's just weird and awkward and whatever. If you want to, I don't really know. So I was in there for 7 minutes. I spent like probably $7 on a gin and tonic, and life lesson, never mix booze and women or booze and strippers, because it's never going to end out well. So that's a good start to a fishing podcast. I'm sure that everybody is either laughing or turning off the computer right now. So Jesus, I don't know where to start. I'm in a really, really good mood. That's a good start. Ty, way to alienate more people and get more people pissed off that you're doing a podcast about strippers. Sorry, I apologize. But anyways, so yeah, I'm in a really, really good mood because I don't know if you guys caught my last podcast, but I was sitting here bitching for 20 straight minutes after my like fifth bad tournament in a row. I had pretty much just thrown all my cards and I just threw the towel and I was so mad. And I figured the best, I said I was going to do a podcast again, but I was just like, you know, fuck it. I'm not going to do another podcast this week because I don't know. I cannot even imagine what it's like to be on like a high end tournament trail and have a shit couple weeks. And you're just, I don't know how those guys continue to show up. I mean, I suppose it is their job. So it's one thing. And I would love to do it, but, you know, when you have a job, when you have a full-time job and you're like spending your money that you don't make a ton of money and you're just putting your heart and soul into this thing and nothing materializes, it really sucks. It's a pain in the ass to keep getting up and like you just keep doing it. You keep grinding, you keep hitting hard and it's like, oh my God, when is this going to turn around? It's never going to, and then you finally hit that point where you're like, it's never going to turn around. I just got to scream and yell and bitch and get everything off my chest. So I did that. It didn't go out the rest of the week. So I had a tournament on Saturday with Casey, CK. And it's a tournament we've done well at. That's up in Green Bay. And it's really cool, actually. The first time, like, so I was talking with him, and he's been on fire. So it's been tough to, it was tough to even get any sympathy from him because he's been rocking shit up there. And he's been doing good in his club tournaments and all that. And, you know, of course, I've been doing nothing down here, so down here meaning Milwaukee, is up by Green Bay. So anyways, so we're talking, and he's kind of doesn't calm my nerves at all, because he said he went 10 hours in practice and got 2 bites and 4 bite-offs, meaning pike. So he goes, well, they're really, really odd. They're not biting good, and it's just one of those tough deals out there post-spawn, and there's been fronts, and it's just like, oh, good, I can't wait to grind for 5 bites, maybe. So anyways, we get there, and honestly, the cool thing is we fish against this guy, Jackson, and we show up, and I see a Bass Squad shirt walking around without knowing, and it's like, wow, that's kind of strange seeing your own, like, company logo walking around and somebody else that's not affiliated with you or not in the group, the foursome that we have. So anyways, thanks, Jackson, for showing off your colors and your pride for Bass Squad and listen to the podcast. I do remember he used the podcast discount, which is BSR, by the way. I haven't brought it up in a long time. If you guys want to buy sweatshirts, t-shirts, we only have a couple things out right now. Like I said, I've been really busy, and I've been on the water so much that pretty much relegated to one podcast a week, and I haven't really been doing a whole lot of as far as this. I got a million other things running around, you know, plus I want to be on the water as much as possible. Lately, the last 2 days have been kind of shit here. It's been like tornadoes actually through Wisconsin and thunderstorms, but anyways, yeah, use the promo code BSR and you can save 10% on your shit on the store. But anyways, so Casey and I get there. It's, of course, you know, I have brought shorts and a t-shirt and like a light sweatshirt because it was like 69 degrees out when I went to bed. So I brought a little light sweatshirt because you never know. Well, prior to that, I checked the weather report and it was pretty much good. Mid to high 50s in the morning, whatever, and then 70 in the afternoon. So a pretty comfortable day on the water. So I brought shorts and a t-shirt and a little sweatshirt. Of course, I wake up and shivering cold, had the window open right next to my face. It's 38 degrees outside. Somehow, I don't know why, it dropped that low. And I'm like, oh, good. Post-spawn and a big front. So that should be real fun. So we get there and it's freezing, and I had shorts and a t-shirt. I had to actually borrow Casey's rain pants because I was a pussy and couldn't handle the cold. Because I'm really bad. I don't know why I don't just walk out the house with a sweatshirt on all the time. But anyway, so we get there and it's about 6 o'clock, whatever. We run to our first spot. It's real close to the launch. Flip a tree about 100 times. We catch a fish off it every time we start there. Every time we fish this tournament, we catch this one tree, these two trees, and we always catch one. Well, of course, we didn't catch any. So I'm just like thinking, I'm like, oh man, today is going to be one of those days where you're going to just grind all day and maybe get 5. And then by the end of the day, you're going to be throwing weightless Cinco's in the middle of the reeds or into the middle of the milfoil with braid on or something to that effect to just get those finessey, stupid bites and try and scratch out a limit, which normally this lake is about 14 to 15 pounds. You can pretty safely say you're going to catch. So we're like, okay, well, this isn't starting well. About 7:30, we go run to our grass that kind of grew up. I guess, according to Casey, it grew up a little bit. So it's starting to mat up, and which is a good sign for us. So I cast a bomb of frog. As soon as it hits the water, explosion. And if you hadn't heard my last podcast, I haven't been the greatest. My batting average has been just awful. Awful, awful, because I've been missing every single frog. I don't know what it was. It was, like I said, one of those things where I can't explain it. And listen to the last podcast. I'm not going to recap that. But so I hit it in, about 15 inch or whatever, kind of shitty. So we throw a call tag on, weigh it, whatever. We kind of figured that was, hopefully, if we were going to weigh that, we weren't going to win anyways. But we put a call tag on anyway. So next cast, or a few casts later, I catch another one on a frog. Okay, so another one on a frog. So like 3 blow-ups in a row, 3 fish. So I'm like, okay, well, today might be way better than I expected. Well, then Casey starts punching, and of course I watch Casey catch 9 straight fish punching. So I put the frog rod down, and it's one of those things where we looked at each other, we're clicking. We had our limit by 745, 750, and we're starting to click. It was awesome. And then I pick up the punch rod, and we just start going to town. It was a grind. Don't get me wrong. The bites were very few and far between, but we were just, it was one of those fun punching days where Casey and I tried to explain the bite. It wasn't like a reaction bite exactly. we were kind of punching through the mat. We do this a lot when it's early or middle summer when those reaction bites aren't necessarily working. And I can't explain why they're not working, but so we would yo-yo it for a little bit, and all of a sudden, Casey explains it as the electricity bite. I don't know. That's the only way we can really describe it, because, like, I think what it is the fish grab it without you feeling the actual thump bite, and they start running into the milfoil, into the stocks, and it just kind of sends this, like, vibration up your rod tip, up your rod, and it's one of those things where you don't exactly know you got a fish, and all of a sudden you just set the hook because you just got a feeling it's there. And so, yeah, we started cracking on them. And we went a big lull in the afternoon. We ran up river, caught a couple shorts, ran back down, ended up catching like a 3.5 at the end of the day, kind of called out a 2, which really helped because we ended up cashing and taking third by, we caught 14.98 and I think 16.5 won. We didn't get any big bites. We had all 3.5. I mean, all our fish were hovering right around 3 pounds. I think our big fish was at 3.26 or something, whatever that may be. But finally broke out of the slump. Felt awesome. And, of course, then I went home, you know, feeling pretty good. But, I didn't go out on Sunday because it was Father's Day. And anybody that, like, I've said this a million times on the podcast before, but if you want to learn how to just zone out and pretty much not let boat traffic affect you, come down and fit or come up wherever you're at. Come fish one of the bowl Waukesha County lakes in the middle of summer on a holiday. And you'll see why I don't fish those anymore. I just don't even bother fishing those days. I mean, some days, like if it's really a night, like if my bite's on, I'll go up from like 5 till 9:45 or 5 till 10 in the morning. I mean, it's really, really not worth it. I mean, you guys don't, like, legitimately, I've said before, I've had my Carolina rigs ripped off many, like, multiple times by boats just flying in front of me. Wakeboarders come within, you know, easily within a cast. And it's just one of those things that I've put up with enough, and I've kind of become a better sounder angler because of it, because I can pretty much zone out any distractions now. I mean, I don't really get phased that much anymore. And, you know, fishing that, and I forget what tournament I was thinking of, but what it was, I've fished many tournaments up here where it's just those round table, you know, revolving Lazy Susan tournaments. I don't know if you want to call it that, where basically you're fishing behind somebody the whole day and you just got to keep your wits about you. And I don't really get affected, but it's still tough to see someone flip a log 10 times and go up and flip the same log. It's really, really hard to do that. And I'm trying to get used to that. But I mean, there's something, you know, I don't know. I try to equate this to this is the only thing I think about in my head that I try to keep the same wits, is like, I've literally been behind someone before, Casey especially, where I'm using a black and blue and he's using a green pumpkin and he's catching 10 to 1 to me. And we're using the same equipment essentially and fishing the same stuff. And I've seen how much color can make a difference. So my thought process is, I bet you that guy isn't using the same thing I am. I know mine works, so I'm going to keep flipping it. I've seen it before where some subtle difference makes all the difference in the world where you're catching fish. So that's what I always try and keep in mind when I'm behind people. And like I said, it's very hard to do that when you're slumping and, you know, when things are feeling way, way not going in your favor. It's a hard thing to do, and I'm glad I kind of broke out of it. On Monday, I fished my normal league, which I haven't even weighed more than, you know, 7 pounds this year, which sucks. But I was going by myself, and then all of a sudden, I usually fish shallow. I fish some weed line, some inside bends, and as I bitched about last week, the smallmouth on the swim and jig, whatever. And I just was at a complete loss. I don't know what else to do on this lake. They're not where I used to catch them. So my buddy Jason Brennick, he's been on the podcast before. He's Army Bass Anglers. He's a solid, solid angler. And he was texting me, whatever. He goes, "Ah, dude, you fishing league tonight?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "I was going to fish, but I'm not going to now." And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to completely throw everything that I knew out the window and pretty much just go do something totally different and never." He goes, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I was like, "Well, I'm going to drop shot the whole day. I'm just going to drop shot. That's all I'm going to do. Maybe frog a little bit on the patches that are near the launch or whatever at the end of the day. It might frog a tiny bit, but I'm going to drop shot the whole time. So he goes, okay, I'm going to be out there. So he just drops everything, grabs a couple rods. He grabbed a drop shot rod and a jig rod out of his rod locker. He said he didn't have time. It was like 5:20 when he got done next to me, and I think started at 6, and he lives about 35 minutes away. So he was there like legitimately right on time. So anyways, he's been on fire too, like my other partner, Casey. Well, he's not really my partner, Jason. It's the first time I've ever fished with him, actually. So we get to our first spot. Of course, I'm drop shotting. Nothing. Not a bite. Well, we caught a couple little bites. Nothing big. Jason missed a big one on a jig right away. I'm like, God damn it. This is going to be another one of those fucking tournaments. After I thought I was out of it, you know, 7:30 hits, not a single fish in the live well. So I'm like, you know what? Screw it. So I went to my old spot that I always fish, but instead of throwing like a pit boss or a power worm or something off the weed lines, I just started drop shotting them. And I had, you know, my graphs and everything face me. It's just a habit. I always do that. So Jason's in the back of the boat and he starts throwing on a drop shot and he sets the hook. And it was a 14.5, which is, like I said before, 8 pounds generally wins out here, out on the lake that I'm saying, well, okay, well, I guess we're into something. And I look at my graph, and the back of the boat's in 36 feet of water, and he casted pretty much parallel. So I'm like, huh, okay, so Jason's fishing no weeds, nothing. I'm like, did you feel anything down there? He goes, no, I just felt a couple bluegills pecking it or whatever. So I'm like, okay. So I cast there, and I catch one, about a 15. I'm like, well, no shit. They're out in the middle of nowhere on the bottom. They weren't suspended. There was just a little school of them there. So then I cast again, another squeaker 14. This is all in the matter of 10 minutes. And then Jason casts there. He catches like a 2.75. I'm like, what the? You got to be kidding me. Why are they out there? And I'm like, we kept fishing. We caught our limit. And then I putted over there. And there's legitimately nothing down there. Nothing. Just all you see is little specks on the graph where the bluegill are. And there weren't any arcs, so there must have been just a little small school of largemouth in 40 feet of water for no reason down there. And we ended up winning, of course, because, well, one, Jason's a good luck charm. I'm just convinced he just brings, so I don't know what it is. So, you know, we won by over a pound, caught one big bass, and basically I paid for the rest of my entry fees now. And now I'm in, you know, 4 pounds back only of the total weight for the year. And now I'm pretty jacked to keep fishing out there, because of course now I'm going to just run that pattern and they're going to probably pull up shallow. So I'm not going to, catch any more doing that. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. And I legitimately won another one of those things where of course you're humbled all the time by fishing, and humbled all the time by something that you don't expect. And huh, imagine that. Something I've never seen before. Fish just holding. I mean, I know they do it down south, but like guys gotta realize they don't do that up here. They don't really school on bait necessarily. I mean, some lakes they do, but there's, especially lakes around me, they're not reservoirs by any stretch. If you're good on the Waukesha County lakes, you can't apply that information pretty much to anywhere else in the country. It's a really, they're all natural glacial lakes. And they're just really clear, and they're weed choked, and they're just really strange, and they're really hard to pattern. Like, of course, frogging shallow and frogging docks and flipping docks apply pretty much the same as they do everywhere else. But like when you're deep out in the weed lines, there's not a whole lot of lakes that I fish down south when I was fishing in college all the time that I really have distinct weed lines. And I know there's some, but it's a really weird thing. And I'm going to try and go fish deep. I'm probably going to go out there and practice on Saturday or Sunday because I have this weekend off. First time ever. I might do a podcast. I don't know. Tyler, stop doing that. Stop telling him you're going to do a podcast and then not do one. I know. Sorry. But yeah, so that was about that fishing update for the week. I saw that Chris Lane had posted tips of fishing on his Facebook page, tips of fishing lily pads. I apologize, I'm spinning a pen, I have an extreme nervous tic, I don't know if you hear that clicking. Chris Lane posted about fishing lily pads. I gotta read that, because that is one thing that I'm bad at. It's one of those frustrating things that I'm not that good at yet. I know I shouldn't be always throwing a Spro frog over the tops of the lily pads. They're just, especially if the wind is blowing like subtly, and the lily pads kind of flip up. Your line gets caught, and the boat's moving, and it's just, it's one of those things I never really quite mastered yet. I fish a lot of lily pads, and I fish the edges, and I fish like the packs or the patches of lily pads, but I never can effectively fish like a whole field of lily pads. So I really do gotta just read that article and hopefully update you guys on that. See if I can apply anything. I mean, of course, nothing really applies that. Like, I've always said that, like, everything that I've read up until this point in my life has pretty much groomed me to fish southern reservoirs and river systems, because I'm pretty good on the river system up on the Wisconsin River, but I'm not that great on, like, natural lakes down here. I can't break that code at all. One, because I've been just immersed in Bassmaster stuff, and the stuff that should work down south doesn't really work up here. Like, it doesn't. I mean, there's certain things, like I said, there's always an exception to the rule, so don't take everything that I said to heart. There's always an exception to the rule, and yeah, wow, I am sweating my dick off right now. It's so hot in my bedroom / studio, and my air conditioning doesn't really work in here, so I'm suffering from heat stroke, and if I collapse, I'll just pause it, start the podcast over, I'll resume where I'll edit it up so you guys don't gotta hear my head hitting the table or nothing like that. So, yeah, I guess I'll talk a little bit of NBA Finals for the Nerd Report. I don't know if you want to count the stripper story and stuff as a Nerd Report, but Spurs completely dominated that series, and I can't say that I'm completely surprised, because when they won, I don't know, Miami was just up against a juggernaut. This Spurs team, I'm going to argue, this team right now this year, the last 2 years, arguably one of the better teams in NBA history. Now, I know I'll have people say that. I mean, yeah, the Heat probably were one of the better teams in NBA history. This year, they weren't as talented. They weren't as... They're not cohesive as a unit. When they get down, they go on those runs. You just got to weather those storms. And the Spurs weathered the storm completely. I think they won by a finals record like 70 total points. They outscored the Heat. I mean, that's just absurd, especially a team like the Heat. I mean, say what you want about LeBron. I'm a big LeBron hater, and I don't like the flopping. I don't like the arrogance. Like I said, I hate that stuff, but you can't argue that he's the best player in the world right now. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, regardless of how many points LeBron scored, Kawhi Leonard shut him down and played his ass off. And the Heat team in general played a total of 5 good minutes, I think, of the maybe 10 good minutes. And just so happened that game 2 was part of that 10 good minutes, and they ended up winning that game. They stole the game away from the Spurs. Spurs kind of went cold late. And then the Spurs just physically, mentally, and out-coached and dismantled the Heat. It was a joy to watch, especially someone that totally disagrees with that mindset of just ganging up and getting a super team together, especially being from Milwaukee and loving the Bucks as much as I do. And we just have no chance if that's going to be the new trend. And I think the Spurs are bucking that trend. I mean, Christ, they've been good since 1999, and they've primarily had the same exact team since 2001. That Ginobili and Parker were on the team first year, 2001. I don't know. When they won their second title in what? Oh, Christ. 02, 05, and 07, I think was their. 03, 05, I don't know. But whatever. 03 maybe, because the Lakers were 2000, 2001, 2002. Stop, Tyler. You got an internet. Just look it up. But yeah, so I don't know. I think they primarily build through the draft and get little free agents that are cast-offs, like Patty Mills, who was awesome to watch, his energy, and it's funny, he looks like a little roadrunner out there. Every time someone falls over, doesn't matter where he is on the court, he's flying over and picking them up, and he's jumping around on the bench. The whole Spurs team was jumping around on the bench. I kind of remember I remember I think it was game 3, Popovich, by the way, I think is the best coach of all time. I mean, you can say Phil Jackson, and yeah, there's a point to be made about handling all those egos that he handled, but they were still Michael Jordan, and they were still Kobe and Shaq, and it was still Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, Robert Horry, Derek Fisher. I mean, they still had a stud team compared to what the Spurs. Spurs have a very sound team, but anyways, Pop comes up to Tony Parker, and you know, basically hugs him at the end of the game three and says, "You were the leader," something to that effect. He goes, "Great game. You led those guys." And the first thing Parker says, doesn't even know the camera's on him. Obviously, Pop was mic'd up. Tony Parker says, "Yeah, but you got to hand it to Kawhi," when Kawhi had 29 points and 14 boards or whatever it was. And that just goes to show you how selfless they play. And the basketball, for those of you who are basketball purists, I don't know, Adam Bartuzik, he seems to be, he's one of our followers and fishes for don't get pissed off. I think it's Winona. I know he's from Minnesota area. But yeah, it's great to watch that type of basketball where pass first. Pop's always his mantra been, don't take a good shot, look for a great shot, or something to that effect, where he pass up a good shot if there's a great shot available. So you see so much ball movement, so much cutting. I said a few times during the finals, like, oh, there's a guy open. Oh, the ball's already there. I mean, of course, it's different than the Bucks where you're like, guy's open. And then they pass it and the ball gets picked off. I mean, it's good to watch and it's nice to see. And hopefully this bucks the trend into now. I don't know if it's just a coincidence, but this is Tyler just, you know, no flow whatsoever today. But I don't know if it's a coincidence that Adam Silver is the new regime under Adam Silver. But those refs sure did eat the whistle for the most part. I mean, there was a couple of questionable, stupid flop calls that it's going to happen. I mean, that's just the way of the game today. But, I mean, they let them play this year, and I love that. And that's why I think Miami had no chance, because they are a soft, soft ball team. Everyone's looking for the foul. I mean, they don't, I don't know. It's nice to see banging around and guys getting just tough basketball like it used to be when I was growing up. I'm 24, Tyler, you're not exactly grown up, but yeah, it's fun to see. And now, of course, you know, you got draft coming up soon. Very, very excited for that. I like to see now that Bucks finally, shut this off if you guys don't like Bucks, because it's going to be boring because nobody cares about the Bucks. But yeah, they have an unbelievable amount of talent. They have a huge potential to pick up more talent in this upcoming draft. They're going to get one of the big three, one of Parker, Embiid, or Wiggins. Now, I don't like the Embiid pick, but he has very talented. If his back isn't really an issue, he's got all the skills that Dwight Howard has and then some. And Parker and Wiggins, they speak for themselves. I think Parker's a little bit more lacking on the defensive side than Wiggins, just extreme athletic ability. Wiggins a little more raw. I think Parker is more developed right now. I think, I don't know, whoever the Bucks take. I mean, even Dante Exum is one of those sleeper picks the Buck could go with at number two, which I don't know if I'd be opposed to, but I wouldn't get butts in the seats, and that's all I kind of want at this point, get them some buzz around the Bucks organization. And now there's rumors floating around that the Bucks are going to trade their starting point guard and starting center, Brandon Knight and Larry Sanders, to the Kings for Ben McLemore on the eighth pick, which would even be better. Because then you'd get another swing guy. You'd get rid of your starting point guard and starting center, but just the legal issues and stuff with Larry Sanders, I think they just want to get rid of him at this point. The Kings are looking to clear up cap space. The Kings are my sleeper team to pick for the next 2 years. They're going to be in very, very prominent. They have, if they can manage that talent on that team, they're going to be far. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, Rudy Gay, and Isaiah Thomas are just studs together. They all average over 20 points this year. Like I said, though, they got to work together, and I don't know if exactly adding a Larry Sanders to that team and then a Brandon Knight who's a reckless point guard will help them. But regardless, if the Bucks somehow land Ben McLemore on the eighth pick, they'd have very, very young team, and they probably won't be good this year or next year, which I'm fine with. I'm still going to watch the games, still going to go to the games. But Giannis Antetokounmpo is it's going to be a star in this league. I'm going to mark that right here. He's 19 years old. He got all the tools and named his all-rookie team, second team this year. Very, very excited to watch him develop. He's 6'10 and a half, 6'11. He's got 26-inch centimeter hands. I don't know how long that is, an inch. I think it's 11 and a half inches from his wrist to his tip of his middle finger. I mean, he's got hands bigger than Kawhi Leonard, if anybody knows that. It's insane. I mean, and he's can dribble and he can shoot and he can pass, he can rebound, and he's just one of those all around guys. He's probably going to be a 15, 10, 6 and 6, 6 and 3 guy his whole career. I don't know. It's a cool, good time to be a Bucks fan, I think. They got the new owners, they got some buzz hitting them, especially if they get a Wiggins or a Parker. I think that would be very, very good and difference than normal. What we're used to, and maybe you'll start to see the Bucks on ESPN, which is a very, very far cry and very, very optimistic view. Maybe this year, last year, not anybody that's been a part of the Bucks franchise. We haven't really been relevant since 2001, since Sam Cassell, Ray Allen, Glenn Robinson, Tim Thomas, Scotty Williams, Irvin Johnson. I don't know, not Irvin Magic Johnson, not the same guy. This one was a little different, for anybody who knows. Yeah, so that's my NBA talk. I'm sorry if I bored you. Like I said, if you guys don't like it, turn it off. I'm going to wrap it up pretty soon here. Kind of got some stuff to get done today. But yeah, we got some great news today. Once again, thanks a lot for following us on Twitter. It's awesome and good to interact with all you guys. But one of our idols... I hope he's listening. That'd be just fucking awesome if he's listening. Mike Iaconelli followed us. I know that's not that big of a deal, but it's a big deal to us, and we didn't, I don't know why, just out of the blue. It's not like we followed him and he followed back. Like, we followed him probably 7, 8 months ago and he followed us. Maybe he's watching, looking at what we're doing, and maybe word's getting out finally that we're these weird college kids that talk about everything and just don't play by the rules necessarily, but are good dudes on the inside, and hopefully he starts interacting with us, and that'd be awesome. I enjoy his podcasts, and maybe he wants to have me on the podcast. If you want, Ike, I'll be more than happy to talk to you about some weird shit if you want. Don't come on mine, because mine sucks. I can't get an internet connection. I can't even get an interview, proper interview on here, because it just cuts out, or I just have issues that I don't want to deal with right now in my studio. Something that I set up, and I have no background in audio equipment. I'm pretty much learning on the fly. I've never even podcast before this. I kind of just started doing it. But yeah, thanks a lot, Ike, for following us. We look forward to interacting with you on Twitter and your fans, and hopefully our fans. I think our fans and your fans are not the two different, not very different in thought processes, because you... we're one of the main mavericks of this industry, and I've listened to your book on tape 1.5 million times, and always used to listen to it. I don't really listen to it anymore. There's no point. I've memorized it, basically. Every time I was on a road trip, it's like, oh, I'll just get fired up listening to Fishing on the Edge a little bit. And so yeah, thanks a lot, and you guys are one of the reasons that people are finding out about us, and completely grateful. Like I said, I don't know what else I've said some controversial things, and I've had some controversial topics on here, and I swear and I do whatever I got to do. But like I said, I'm just being who I am. And I think that it's starting to rub off, that especially the way the world's going, the way information is popping up about everybody, pretty much liar. You don't lie anymore. It's going to get found out. And what's better, me just coming out right now and I'm 24 and us just speaking our mind now, and here's what I was going to say: lying and pitching product, and all of a sudden down the line, all of a sudden someone's like, oh, hey, Tyler, you know, professional bass angler Tyler Glockner was slapped by a stripper for starting a fight. Well, it's better than people finding out about it that way than me just telling you guys about it now and then not really having it. So if people want to come sponsor me or come sponsor us, it's like, well, you know what you're getting. You're not going to get someone who's going to lie. And so maybe, you know what, that might mean less sponsors in the future or less whatever in the future, but we're kind of building our own brand now. And like I said, we're always open to suggestions. We're always open to hearing your guys' opinion, voicing. That's what we're all about. We're all about just, you know, getting the average person out there and talking, and maybe we've even a couple of guys. Like, it's so rewarding to hear these guys coming up on Twitter, and, you know, obviously I've never met them before and we've never met anybody, but it's like, hey, I've never really bass fished before, but I'm really, really, I went a couple times, I'm into it. What should I use? What rod should I use? And it's like, you know what? It's so great to hear. You know, we talk a little bit of shit sometimes about, you know, joking around about those arrogant guys that say, oh, you know what? I get by just as well on spinning rods and frogs. It's like, well, yeah, but I don't want to talk to you anymore because you're just being an asshole right now. Why don't you listen to me and say, here's the reasons why that's not effective. Well, I can cast further than you. Okay, well, that's fine. Or the guys that are legitimately saying, hey, I throw frogs with a spinning rod. I'm just wondering why that's a problem. And then, you know, we explain ourselves and it's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go buy a bait caster right now and practice and get good at it and become a more effective angler. That to me is way more rewarding than pretending to sell product and pretending to do this and pretending to do that. And it's just, it's so awesome. And, you know, a couple guys even started their own podcast because they heard us just talking shit on here and, you know, messing around for the most part. And yeah, it's fun as shit for me to do. And it's hopefully fun for you guys to listen to. And I'm going to get out of here pretty soon. But like I said, if you guys really would, we really appreciate if you guys do some shopping on Amazon. Just go through our podcast page on www.bassquadcorp.com, click on the Amazon link, and then just do your shopping through there. We get some money if you guys do your shopping through Amazon. They're very, very forthcoming. So if you guys want to see, you guys start your own podcast and need some funding or whatever, you just got to shoot Amazon affiliate program an email and they'll hook you up. If you guys have a legitimate podcast or a legitimate following or whatever, we're also trying to pursue a couple other sponsors that aren't industry sponsors whatsoever. But I mean, if industry sponsors want to contact us about potentially funding some stuff, obviously we have a million different outlets to get a hold of. We email us email us at bassquadcorp@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter @bassquadcorp or facebook.com/BassSquad LLC. I think that's what it still is. I'm probably going to change that soon. But yeah, there's plenty of outlets to hit us up on. But yeah, what would really help if you guys did and go on our iTunes, search Bass Squad Radio, and just rate it or make a review, do a comment, say you like it, say you don't like it, say that this is why you like it, say this is why you don't like it. Give us a rating, 1 to 5 stars or 0 stars. I don't even know if you can vote 0 stars, but just do 1 to 5. Then, the sponsors that are podcast-related, there's a whole bunch of them that are pretty much strictly advertised on podcasts, and they like good reach, and if they find out you have a popular podcast, they are way more willing to support you and support us, and so we can maybe accumulate a few more. So thank you guys a lot for listening. I'm going to get the hell out of here. Hope you enjoyed the the stripper story in the beginning and the fishing talk in the middle and the basketball talk at the end. So, yeah, that's a good sandwich right there. Peace the F out.